Before we start the show, we'd like to let you know that our Patreon page and the bonus Patreon-only episodes are now going live every fucking Friday. You can access this weekly extra content for less than the price of a cup of coffee per month.
Coffee.
Head over to patreon.com/3inthepink, that's three the word in the pink, to watch our campaign launch video and support. Choose a support tier that suits you.
The highest.
Yeah. 100,000.
I think 1,000 is our highest, and that's okay. Just for like Zaddies.
Yeah. That's for the Zaddies, and they can do whatever they want. I'm Rihanna. I'm Apsi Watana.
Stole my joke from last week.
I'm Roma Beck. And this...
I'm Olivia Kendall.
She's Kendall. The one in the stink!
Our first stink!
Finally got one!
That's not it's the... Oh, it's deliberate.
Bitch.
Our first stink.
How does it feel? Tight?
Grody.
Grody.
Tight.
It's a tight squeeze.
Exciting.
That's exactly what we're
ribbed for your pleasure.
Ribbed for his. Where are you from? Why are you here?
I'm from America. Oh, I live in Oakland and I'm here visiting Roma and Apsi, and I'm just here for the Iron Brew.
Oh, yeah.
And other things that aren't stereotypically Scottish.
Alcoholism.
Yes, to examine that with a clear journalistic eye.
This week on the show, we're going to be discussing the Israel Eurovision win. P.S. The song was Butters, the Nakba 70 protests, the deaths and the moving of the American embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We're also going to touch on Mental Health Awareness Week, and we will discuss... both the gender quake show and the debate aired afterwards with that level of serious.
I was really trying to get it out during the Israel bit. That's the way that I was going to do
really
it.
Push for it. On my our Patreon-only bonus show, we will be talking all about the Mute R. Kelly, a.k.a. Shush R. Kelly, a.k.a. Convict R. Kelly campaign, or our campaign, which is going to be hashtag Mute R. Verk.
Why?
Just because it winds you up, honey.
I love R. Kelly.
It winds you up. So who watched Eurovision? Because I watched.
I didn't. I was too busy hanging out live. You should probably take the lead on the Eurovision thing.
Yes, because I did watch the entire thing. Jack's family were up, and so we all had forms and filled in scores for each entry. It was real.
Yeah, they take
it. Was a big mood. Yeah. It was a big mood.
Oh, wow.
So I watched all of it, and obviously every time Israel came up, I was angry.
Fuck are they there for?
Why are they even, they're not even in Europe.
In it?
No, but they're a fair
like, at least
Australia, not in
Australia
Europe,
at least
they,
is in the colonies. That makes sense. Not that it's permissible, but it makes sense. I've seen quite a few posts about the fact that the girl who was in the Israel entry was like a fat queen.
Yeah, she killed it. She crushed it.
I don't think that we should be looking to Israel for any like body positivity. Doesn't that like to be honest.
Sum up the whole of
like yes, fat queen.
Internet identity politics, which is you can have a genocidal ethno state as long as
you're
perfectly
fat.
Fine. But if
as
they
long
have
as
like
you're
a
fat chicken,
empowered fat chicken woman,
you've got a failed onion booty.
It's making me cry. Not in a good way.
It is making the world cry. Her big old onion booty because
it's
Israel
making Palestinians
is a,
cry,
a
right?
Yeah,
tear gas. She's making them cry with tear
gas. Whoa, yeah.
Oh, these faces.
Still processing all of it.
Yeah.
1,200 injuries from tear gas.
Obviously, like the presenters can't really say anything about Israel because presumably now that Israel's won, they have to go to Israel for the presentation of the next Eurovision competition.
I forgot that she fucking won.
But then you can't enter Israel if you've publicly said anything negative. But it was just really weird that, like, while the march to return was happening, people were on TV talking about Israel and just nobody mentioned the fact that there's, like, an ongoing genocide for the last 70 years.
They never really do,
though. Just glossed over it. Yep. Until now, the last couple of days, I've seen
get Palestine to enter
the most. Yeah. I've seen like the use most active anti-Israel sentiment online the past couple of days than I've ever seen. Like people are finally addressing it because obviously everyone's kind of scared of being called an anti-Semite. Not me, as is well
no, documented. No, she hates the Jews.
As is well, not that I am an anti-Semite. I'm just not afraid to be called one for being anti-Zionist.
Get out of the Labour Party, bitch.
Let's stop. We should stop calling me an anti-Semite just because...
Yes, we should. I agree with you. You are?
Just because the internet.
Yeah. Yes.
They're going to say what they're going to say if they don't understand nuance.
Yeah, but it's you.
What? That is an anti-Semite?
They're calling me an anti-Semite.
Yeah, I know, but in a way
Mute
that's...
our work.
I'm saying it ironically.
Oh, okay.
There's beef.
Is there any chance they're just not going to do it in Israel? They're like, yeah, we're definitely going to do it in Israel, but we're not going to do it in Israel. Probably,
that would definitely be the first time that it had ever not been hosted in the winning...
See, I did not know this about Eurovision, so is that how it works? Where was it hosted? Yeah,
so it was in Portugal this time, because Portugal won last time, so every year it goes
around. Okay.
So everyone has to flock to Israel.
Also, the funny thing is, usually the voting is very political.
They're going to just,
so
like, serve some soda streams up everywhere.
Any countries, they're going to drag out Scarlett Johansson's going to present.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman.
So usually what it is like any country that is landlocked, everyone votes politically, so you can vote for your neighbours. So often it tends to be like, you know, we never get any votes because we're assholes, obviously. But like, you know, that's why Eastern Europe does it well, because they all kind of vote for each other because they're landlocked. But then Israel isn't. Well, it's landlocked on the one side, but by like the Arab nations, not by any European nation. So,
but they're getting on really well with their Arab neighbors.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So if Palestine could vote, they would.
But definitely, I know, like Germany and things, like, you know, obviously has a lot of guilt to the Jewish people, and that's kind of then reflected in support of Israel out of a sort of fear of again being anti-Semitic.
They really internalize that guilt.
Like Germany to a huge degree.
Yeah,
they really way more than like bad. America ever feels bad about slavery.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when someone gets a little too upset about something they've done, and you're like, they start crying too much, and you're like,
please don't make me take care of you.
Don't make it my problem again.
Very manipulative of you, Germany.
Also, like, the song wasn't that good. There were definitely songs that
the song was
better.
Shit. Were any of the songs legitimately good?
Austria and Sweden were better, and they were both just like pop bops. One was kind of John Legend-y, and then one was kind of like Justin Timberlake-y.
Ooh.
Which era of Justin Timberlake?
Very
like
important.
Noughties. Like 2005.
Oh, all right. Oh, like
not
Crimean.
Current Bon Iver.
No, like the good shit. So I don't really get why they won. It was just because it was a fat queen, I guess. And she kind of was like doing a sort of Bjork impression.
Yeah, she was like, that was it.
She pretended to press some buttons on like an Ableton push.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
People went wild.
She was like, we know you're not.
She was like, thank you for celebrating diversity.
Yeah, it's like,
if only your government could.
Your nation can celebrate diversity.
She means diversity because it's like species, just chickens and how animals.
Yeah.
Being fat is a radical act.
It is.
In Israel. Yeah. It's because they've got all of the resources to make them fat, and then they haven't not given them to anybody else.
It is true.
Like, we'll have that.
Take it off. Speaking of radical acts in Israel, so a couple of days after Eurovision, we saw the movement of the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which also coincided with the 70th anniversary of the Nakba, aka the Day of Catastrophe.
Aka, just so people might not know.
I'm about to explain it. On May 14th, 1948, Israel issued the Declaration of Independence. Ever since then, every May 15th has been Nakba Day, where Palestinians mark the ethnic cleansing of their people, entailed by the creation of Israel. Nakba Day. This Nakba Day also features a culmination of the Great Return March, in which Palestinians have marched en masse to the fence Israel erected to separate Gaza and Israel, to protest and say that they intend to pass through the barrier. Obviously, they can't actually pass through the barrier, but it's sort of a signifier of their intent to return and their right to return back to their homes they were pushed out of by the Zionist forces in 1948, when 750,000 Palestinians were ejected from their homes. I mean, that's kind of been ongoing since then, but that was sort of the big... Well, it wasn't the start of it, but that was kind of when the first lines were set between Israel and Palestine, as it kind of now is standing with Gaza and the West Bank and the stuff. So it's 70 years since that happened. There's like ongoing kind of wars. You've got like the Arab Spring and the Gaza War of 2015. 2014, sorry.
It's okay. Don't want some troll to be like, excuse me, it's scoop, not shoot.
This kind of coincides. I feel like it's a bit flagrant for them to also have the day that the American embassy moves beyond NACPA Day. I don't know if it's sort of a...
It's probably fairly deliberate,
right? If they're trying to, like, incite people or if they're just trying to, like, cover it up. I don't know.
Both.
If it was... If it was the second one, it seems a bit
pretty
dumb.
Inflammatory. Yeah. But a lot of people have kind of been reporting that the riots are because of that.
Right,
when, when really the people of Gaza, I think that's the least of their problems. Right. And also Gaza is closer to Tel Aviv.
Yeah. I mean,
Jerusalem is along the West Bank and the wall to the
West
Bank.
They've been protesting in this way for decades.
Nakba 70 and the
Yeah, they keep calling it... I don't think the media don't know what word to use because they know it's not like a war because it's not equal. So they've just they started calling it a clash.
Yeah.
Like a sort of scuffle.
Yeah.
Or like a bit of a kerfuffle. Like a, but a clash implies there's a buffer between the where they're protesting
that it's like
and
even,
the border.
Implies that they passed over the border.
Yeah, that they're all accidentally
It's like they're kind of trying to get towards the border with no weapons and no defense, and then an army with machine guns are shooting them. So if you guess if you call that a clash, then cool. But I wouldn't.
Really it's weird how there's no Israeli deaths, but 55 Palestinians.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because they've all got machine guns. So if you come within 50 feet of
them, it's weird that you can't kill someone with a stone. From across a however many mile.
It's like a mile wide, or something.
Mile wide buffer. That's weird. But you can get a gun across that. Yeah, that's weird.
A lot of media outlets have kind of been referring to Gaza as being like an open war prison, but that kind of implies that the people of Gaza are criminals. It's more like an open war, open, what's the word? Open.
It's not very open at all, is it? It's closed.
It's more like a concentration camp.
Yeah.
So I guess if you
traditional sense.
If you put an entire kind of ethnicity or state into a concentration camp. That sounds familiar. If you put them all into a concentration camp and then they wanted to leave, I guess you could call that a clash.
Abuse repeats. It's a cycle of abuse.
It is a cycle of abuse, which is supported by the American government.
I mean, and
did you see much, like, a lot of the reporting that was done from the media, they're all sort of like, so what can Palestinians do? Like, what should they do about
this? They've really not been trying hard enough this last 70 years.
Can they just all fuck off?
Organize, you know?
Yeah.
It's always like,
they couldn't be more peaceful.
The responsibility is always shifted onto what the Palestinians can do about
they
it.
They have zero agency.
I mean, didn't Palestine actually, like, at some point not too long ago, agree to like a two-state solution, and it was
1988.
Yeah, and then it was, and then that was
and 1993. It's so twice.
The problem is that it's not really the problem with the two-state solution is that the kind of way in which Israel wants to do. I've like seen a map of what they kind of want to do, and it's like let Palestine have all of these kind of little dots around the country, but then in order to enact that, they have to create this huge infrastructure of like underground tunnels and roads and stuff so that Palestinians can get to their other part of Palestine without interacting.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you can fucking burn Israel to the ground.
It's just such an insane idea, and it doesn't really make sense. And then you're still not actually allowing all of those people that are kind of still living in like shackle houses, like they still aren't allowed to return to their homes that have been stolen from them.
Yeah.
It's not a solution to call
it
a solution.
No, it's not a solution. It's frustrating. Yeah, exactly. It's frustrating to hear people always shift the responsibility onto Palestine when they have actually like done it, you know.
Like they just want the violence to end. They want their children to stop being put in jail and
a lot of
killed
the people protesting were refugees just trying to get back in the country to carry on living as refugees because they'd been evacuated by Israel forcibly and they were just trying to get back to their homes where they live those are the demonstrations today. So it's being like tied up with the movement of the embassy, but the protests happen every single day, and they have done for 70 years.
I mean, the embassy has drawn a lot of attention on it, but I think I've said before on the podcast that while the embassy move is dumb, it's kind of really... it's kind of inconsequential in terms of like the real issues they're facing.
Yeah, but they can use it to veil. They can use it as a justification for why they decided to do a huge massacre. Because they can be like, "Well, it was because of this embassy. Of course, they're going to be really upset about that. That's why we shot them all." But so they'll take any opportunity.
Wouldn't want to have to go to the American embassy in Jerusalem. Like, it's kind of it's pretty scary. Like when I was there, it was like a Jerusalem Pride and a bunch of people got shot, and then there was like a bomb exploded in one of the mosques in Jerusalem, and it's such a small kind of warren of streets and paths, and you kind of just get trapped in one by the police all of a sudden, and you don't know what's going on, and there's just like explosions happening. So like, I think maybe Tel Aviv is like a less scary place to have the embassy, but I guess if they want to get in amongst it.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult to have a hot take about Israel-Palestine, because it's just baffling every day that it's not at least reported, honestly. Right, this is the first time in a while where it's been, it's like the mainstream news reporting is slightly editorialized to be kind of anti-Israel and to emphasize perhaps that Israel
human
forces...
rights violations,
but a lot of the reporting has been that Israel have responded to fire with all of these deaths. So it's always
60 die, or like people die as a result of clashes. And it's very much like not pointing.
There was one headline that was like at the time it was around 40 people. It's since risen, but like 40 people shot by Israeli forces on
some
the
of
border.
Some of those titles had to get were like, you know, people were tweeting at like BBC News and stuff and telling them to change their titles. Yeah. And they did, and I think a lot of American news outlets still haven't really changed them, but some of the British ones are.
Yeah,
which is good.
Like,
this is the first time I've really seen a lot of pressure put on British media to actually address these things, and a lot of people finally coming out and denouncing the actions of Israel.
I think there's a narrative. There's like a constant narrative that you see of like both sides being aggressive.
Yeah, that is like the worst
two-sided thing.
It's like, absolutely, an unarmed group of people be aggressive.
I know, and it's like it's people like J.K. Rowling who will like
it's one of those
perpetuate
that,
this kind of idea.
People say that like, you know, like certain media things don't matter, these things don't build up, which I agree with some big overarching social issues. Like, media representation isn't enough to solve things like that. But when it comes to depicting a genocide, it is important that you phrase it as such and that you don't dress it up as a kind of... It's always dressed up as this kind of inexplicable conflict that we'll never really understand over here. And so
it's incredibly
we best not try. And there's just something going on over there and it's decades long and we don't really know what it is. So let's just help them figure it out. And both sides are upset.
Yeah,
and this is the nature of wars.
And there's not a lot of information about the blockade and about the like decimation of the infrastructure.
Yeah, you
know, of the entirety of.
Yeah, like, I mean, Palestinians get in some places get access to water for like 4 hours a week.
Mm.
So you have to have tanks on your ceilings, on your roofs, and you fill the tanks. And then sometimes the Israeli forces will just shoot holes in your water tanks just for fun, and then you've got no water. Whereas in Israel, you can have 3 showers a day if you want to. If you're in
and
Tel Aviv.
And SodaStream.
You can carbonate the water. You've got so much water.
Yeah.
Like that. Actually, in Ben Gurion Airport, in the kind of the like central waiting area, there is like a SodaStream sponsored water fountain.
And
they're literally just throwing water around.
Carbonated water. In
like,
a fountain,
like
a water
throwing
feature.
Throwing water around in Ben Gurion Airport. It's fucking disgusting.
But to what end? Why does that need to be fizzy?
I know, and there's like a 10 foot SodaStream. It's like, we get it, you've got all the water. Like, okay. See what you've done here.
Let's have a splash around.
Yeah.
Let's have a splash around in some fizzy water. It's horrible on the skin.
it's disgusting to drink, I'd say.
But I know that you mentioned, you know, usually we would say that media representation is not that important, but actually a lot of people
for
in Palestine,
like
I
news
spoke
reporting.
A lot of people in Palestine have said that, you know, all that they want from people that go over there and see it is to actually to go home and to talk to tell people and to talk about it, because the problem has been over the last 70 years is that people just aren't talking about it because they're not aware. You're told not to travel to Palestine. You're not really told what's going on over there.
Or if they are aware of it, it's neutralized as a both sides are wrong. Both sides have shit to deal with and they'll figure it out. It's really not framed as an apartheid state, an ethno state, a genocide. And it's, I mean, like you said, it's not just the outbursts of violence on the Gaza Strip or wherever.
It's a
complete dismantling of a country's infrastructure and a complete relocation, a forcible removal of people, denying healthcare, education, all those things, making it like unlivable there. We would be aware of it if there weren't, you know, kind of international interests and there wasn't all the kind of global politics that we have. And we would be more
like,
aware
there's the like Holocaust guilt, which like it is valid, but we need to remember that Jewish people and Zionists are not the same.
I mean, I feel like that should be obvious, and I feel like it can be used as a cynical shield, right? The anti-Semitism thing, like to use anti-Semitism to defend a genocide is it is very cynical, and people kind of fall for it. They will resort to, I think, because of the history of Israel, the history of the Holocaust and the Jews. I think people, it does make people wary of commenting on it, and they get kind of worried. Is it different in America? Like the fact, the kind of Israel-American relationship is so strong, and the way people talk about it.
Very much filtered through like light touch business interest positions, angles all the time. And also, American education is so horrible that most people probably don't even know where most of Europe is. So the like further away from England you get, the less good the geopolitical understanding is for
Americans. I feel like it's hard for university lecturers in America. A friend that goes to Pitzer, and she says that there's been lecturers, they'll kind of put people in the lectures kind of representing Israel, and if you speak in any way against Israel, they'll like get you lobbied to be fired and stuff.
Or disciplined extremely heavily.
All those dickheads that bang on about free speech, and all the fucking dumb comedians who want to make like cancer fuck your mom jokes or whatever, this is what actual infringement on free speech looks like. It's losing your job because you're somebody defending a genocide. It's being denied. It's being, you're having your life effective, like, either ended or severely impeded because you've dared speak about moral outrage existing in the world while we're alive. Like, if you're worried about free speech, you should be worried about a university lecturer being allowed
and not a fucking pug that's, like, Nazi saluting on YouTube.
Or, like, whether or not you can say faggot or whatever, you know. Which is really what those people want to do. I'm saying it in context.
Can you imagine if like Ricky Gervais actually uses his free speech to support genuine issues of free speech?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. Fuck free speech. I mean, free speech people have the least amount of interesting things to say. Fine, I advocate for free speech if you've got something interesting to say.
Yeah.
But you really,
If you want like more information about this, it's obviously quite like a complex, long-standing issue.
Also, it isn't, because you know.
But there's a lot for people to learn, I think, because it isn't really discussed like in modern education. If you're in Scotland, the Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign are really good, and they're always on Buchanan Street in Glasgow.
There's a few events in Glasgow.
And there are also a few like pro-Israel groups that set up to counter them in Buchanan Street.
Labour Friends of Israel, Scottish Friends of Israel. I mean, they're just trying to like sell you a soda stream. So. Yeah, so you can just ignore them. Also, if you want to go to Palestine and see it for yourself, I would really recommend getting in touch with the Laji Youth Centre, who run like an educational working camp thing over there, where you go and like work in a youth centre for 2 weeks, and they take you on loads of lectures and stuff. So that's really interesting.
Yeah,
if you want to learn more. Because that's where I went, and now I'm a fucking boss at this. Like, I could talk about Palestine and Israel for hours.
but we won't. We'll move on.
It's great leverage.
Yeah. Support for Three in the Pink comes from listeners like you by way of Patreon. Your Patreon patronage for as little as $1 per month helps to keep the show going and provide an alternative, accessible voice in leftist political and cultural discussion. If you'd like to sign up and show your support as well as receive
please
all of our exclusive Patreon content, including an extra... entire extra weekly podcast, bitch.
Whole other show.
A whole Wait. Other show a week. Head over to patreon.com/threeinthepink. That's three the word and the pink.
So play. It is Mental Health Awareness Week. We're not going to go crazy in depth with it because of our own mental health.
Are you aware?
Are you aware mental health? That we're mental?
Have you ever heard of people being like, instead of saying mental health problems or mental illnesses, they're like, oh, they just say mental health. Like, yeah. I'm suffering from mental health.
Yeah. Ill mental health.
Yeah. It's like, you're good.
So, yeah, so
like, yeah. I'm so good.
I'm suffering
I'm
from
so
good
mentally
health.
Healthy.
I'm suffering from physical health, so that sucks. Where's physical health awareness?
It's also us. Where's dealing White History Month? Disease Awareness Week, so...
What for about mentally ill celiacs?
We're really aware.
They might be
time.
Mentally ill because
this
they
is their
have
time
celiacs.
To shine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be.
Maybe it's because that name is so hard to spell.
Gluten's bad for you.
I mean, celiacs is serious.
No, it
to
is.
Be fair.
It is serious. I'm sorry.
As I forget, you should really respect.
I should respect celiac. Veganism has nothing to do with celiac disease.
It's a dietary thing.
And Michael, every time someone's like, it's not vegan, but it's gluten free.
It's almost the same thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, thanks. That's totally relevant to what I'm but we're not going to go too much into mental health, like I say, but we are going to touch on some resources that you can Ooh. Access that Ooh. Might be worth checking out just in case you're having mental health
If you've got mental health, then
if you've got mental health or indeed ill mental health.
You can fuck off if you've got mental health. Just skip forward.
If you've got mental health, call Roma.
I'll sort you out, lovey.
So resources that are worth checking out are The Respite Room and Lifelink. And if you're in the creative industries, also The Creative Independent and Music Minds Matter are all great.
Because that music industry, it's not kind.
I like the sound of The Respite Room.
Yeah.
Lifelink is where I shall be getting my therapy.
Is it padded? Ooh. Is the room padded?
I hope so.
Padded?
Yeah.
That will make you feel really sane. So check this out.
For you, for organising it.
Thanks. I need to call
I'm not being
them
sarcastic.
Back.
But when you do, it's yeah. good. It's very slow, that process, because it's like avoided.
But I know, especially in Glasgow the last week, there's been a lot of people kind of in the music industry and the stuff that have been affected by this. So
yes,
Jaffiel,
we shan't.
But this podcast, unfortunately, is not a replacement for therapy. So I would advise.
Although
you'd
be forgiven for mistaking that it was.
Yeah, it's our therapy.
It's probably,
but it's probably
better
not
than
your therapy.
This episode.
Better than
fucking hell.
Better than CBT. That's what I'm saying. Cock and ball. Cock and ball torture.
Cock and ball torture is better CBT than cognitive behavioral therapy. That's how I feel about it. I'd rather have cock and ball torture.
CBD can suck my dick.
Your cock and balls.
I'm on the record.
If you haven't done CBT, I've truly...
Make a chart of your feelings and count to 10 and breathe in.
Yeah.
Then
if you want to learn how to like exist
Olivia has a psychology background,
world.
By the way, so I'm just... God. And I'm watching
They're
the face
training
to see
you
if
to
she
get
disagrees.
Back into neoliberalism and just ignore your depression is my opinion of CBT.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's
it's
how
get
I
yourself
feel.
Back to work.
It's like, just suck it up, love, and go to work.
Yeah.
And what's your analysis on ball torture?
That's the counterbalance.
It's the lesser of two evils.
I mean, I feel like it must be very, like a purge of something.
Yeah, cathartic.
What thing?
Wait, is it, no, I mean, is it a real thing?
Yeah.
Why would it not be? Everything's a real thing. Smash.
I just,
Jack,
I've got well, written.
Jack said that somebody looked like a tram smash earlier.
And I was, Jack oh, sometimes no. comes out with these weird Jack-isms, like phrases he thinks everyone uses.
Tram smash.
Tram smash. It was,
like
it was
really
a,
ugly.
It was a human male. He was like, I don't know, it's a bit of a tram smash.
Like a tram smash their face.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with trans smash.
No.
Google that's... kept saying, do you mean tram smash? I was like, no.
What is that?
No, I'm smash. Not fucking on
not
gender
fucking
quake.
Turf.
I'm not a turf at gender quake.
Wow,
Jesus
that's
Christ.
Such a good segue.
Thank you.
Brilliant. To gender quake. We're going to talk about gender quake.
What's happening?
What's that?
It's moving. The floor's moving.
What is it?
It's a gender quake.
Ah!
Did you know gender was invented 5 years ago? By white curly shaved her head.
Glitter pits, honey.
Honey.
Honey. I forgot about glitter pits.
I can't forget.
Period art. That's a good one.
I don't grow enough armpit hair to do clear.
Oh, girl, I do. I'm Asian. We're Asian.
Yeah, I can give you, give me 5 days. And
I'm not a good feminist because I don't grow enough armpit.
I used to feel bad because I shaved my armpits.
I'm not valid.
Don't tell anyone, because a lot of people didn't and they had it as a badge of honor.
Oh, God.
And I realized
I hate caring about that and thinking that it was important.
I don't like period art. Oh no!
Pre-bleeding.
I just don't like art.
No, that's true.
If it comes under the banner of art, then
fuck
it.
Fuck art.
Fuck it.
Well, here we are.
So, should we talk about the show first?
The Jean de Quick.
Yeah, Jean de Quick.
So, Olivia's been briefed, but has. Yeah. So, you know what's up.
Have you seen the show?
I've not seen the show, but I have researched the debate on the show. So,
She's a heavy researcher.
Okay.
So, the premise of it was a reality TV show in which, a bunch of young people who had varying gender identities and sexualities, strangers, came together to live in this really fancy-ass fucking nice country house.
Fancy. What was it, in country. Somerset or some
yeah,
bullshit
a country
place
house,
like that?
Yeah,
fuck
country
everyone house. South of, Manchester.
Yeah. And they were all brought
in. Anyway, south of Hadrian's Wall, am I right?
And they had to live there for, just a week?
It was just a week.
It was just a week,
was it?
Yeah, living there together and then the ensuing.
You sure it wasn't
whatever's.
Two?
No, I think it was 1 week.
I think
they got fucked every single day.
Yeah, I know.
Because
England. Because it's England and they were 21. Well, they were 21.
This is England.
They were 19 to 30. Ish was the age group.
Yeah, okay.
It was 10 white people and 2 black people and they were.
Yeah.
A handful of trans people, trans women, and as was revealed later, a trans man. A lesbian, and
a couple gender neutrals,
and a gay guy,
a
smorgasbord. Well,
there was a woman that had an extra. Was it had XXY chromosome?
Oh, yeah. Intersex.
She had massive tits and a dick.
Yeah, yeah, but she'd originally gone to an all boys school, and then as she hit puberty, she started to become quite visibly female.
Yeah. They were just
so she transitioned without any interfere.
She had
XXY chromosomes. So.
Yeah. So there was the sort of reality show element, and then there was the ensuing, there was the following debate, a Channel 4 debate in this big kind of
fucking
room.
Kathy Newman.
Yeah, fucking the journalist
she
of our time.
She is a boot.
She is.
You mean Cherry.
I miss her. She's still going. More on that later. But they had a debate about the very generic, should trans people exist?
Yeah, actually the opening question that Kathy Newman was can a woman have a penis?
Yeah.
And then when that's the opening of your debate, then you know it's going to be incredibly intelligent.
Tell that
and
they really didn't watch. They didn't even watch the show because we've covered this already.
The first part was kind of almost I see what it was trying to do, but that one was kind of saccharine and a little over sentimentalized, and everyone.
I thought it would be a lot more baity though than it was, and actually the one where it's just a bunch of people in the house. Actually, they kind of worked out their differences and problems and discussed it in a way that was quite normal.
The straight guy who was quite came onto the show was quite ignorant. The white kind of guy from Barnsley.
Tom.
He was from Barnsley. He came off quite well because he was just really open minded.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know anything, but I just want to learn.
Yeah.
At first, he accidentally called a trans woman or said when you were a man or something like that, and then everyone kind of jumped down his throat. And I was like, oh, is this going to be a kind of weird classist thing where you're attacking someone who just doesn't know the right words, but they're trying?
Yeah.
But then it turns out that they were all like, oh, he's actually trying his best.
Yeah, and
he was taking it all on board.
Yeah. You can tell that those kinds of people are very. Endearing, I think, because people who are trying but maybe don't have the vocabulary yet because they haven't maybe existed in certain spaces, they might have just been busy. Mom is just busy.
They've been busy for the last 5 years.
So that part of the show was kind of over sentimentalized a little bit, and at the end they lived together for a week and then literally all realized that labels don't matter and trans people are people, and maybe that's important for some people to see. And then the debate was just a whole other kettle of gender neutral fish. It was just like, it was a totally different. It was weird.
Not a safe space.
It was weird. It was not a safe tank. It was weird that Channel 4 made the same company made both the shows though, because it seemed the agenda of the. Because the first one clearly had an agenda. It had a narrative arc. It had Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. It had the introduction, it had the conflict, then it had the resolution at the end. All in the space of a week, which is a little kind of liberal fantasy, like that you can. Like we've fixed gender next, but then the debate
even
was messier.
One of the girls like we've eradicated gender in this household. Yeah,
it was a hot mess. The debate
and the debate was some people are saying, including Ash Sarkar, who was on the one of the journalists, a cis woman journalist on the show. She said, she said Jermaine Greer was half cut. Did you see that interview?
Yeah,
but also, she was, and other people have spoken about how Channel 4 were deliberately stoking up the audience and positioning the TERFs. So there was
surrounded by TERFs.
Yeah, there was, in the middle of a big hall, there was a bunch of sofas that the panellists were sat on, and surrounding them was the audience, which is already kind of a weird setup because you're the people behind you, and so if they start to speak... Yeah. Channel 4 were encouraging audience participation. They were saying, if you like things, say, and if you don't, because this is a controversial debate. And that, to me, speaks to the kind of inherent... not hypocrisy, the inherent...
It's like a pantomime.
It's the inherent kind of, like, bad motives of TV channels.
That's not because, how a debate goes. Like, yeah, they know that...
I mean, people in the first place were questioning why it was in the form of debate anyway.
Yeah, there are what certain, was being debated?
What was being debated, right? Like,
was there even existence? Were they just calling it a debate?
The debate was, like, let people with different ideas of gender kind of... had to say their piece, and so but Channel 4 clearly were trying to stoke up the drama because they're a TV channel and they need ratings, and
they debated a little bit about the Gender Recognition Act and about bathrooms laws.
It's loosely
like that,
framed around the fact that there's the imminent Gender Recognition Act, and that's why there's all these shows talking about whether I'm talking about gender in general. And Sean Fay was saying actually that the whole gender,
it's very inconsequential.
For a trans person, what's more important is to exist in, if you're a trans woman, to exist in a female space and to be accepted and not be constantly kind of judged and analysed on if you look female enough, and those kinds of social things.
And also like access to healthcare,
and housing and jobs, and those are the things that are going to be harder to get, not what letter is on your birth certificate, because who's ever seen their birth certificate, is what she said. But yeah, the debate was kind of like a whole... I felt... Watching it was really uncomfortable, because I wasn't sure what to expect. I'd seen that there was criticism of it, but I wanted to wait till I'd seen it. And then when it happened, it was... One, because of the format, this is why these formats are dead. These faux debate formats that give the illusion of civility and discourse and ethics, when really they're literally, they exist to give, to make people feel as though that they are reasonable people who've listened to all sides of the story. They're not actually designed to target your empathy or change your mind or really present any new ideas. They're there to make people watching never change their mind, but feel like they've
There's no space within a debate to actually get to root of a point and actually make a point well, and to kind of delve into it. It's literally just like, defend yourself against this, now defend yourself against that. Yeah. Nobody's actually gaining any.
I mean, a trans woman or a trans person even going on that show and having to suffer, I don't know how much you know about this, Olivia, but like there were two trans women on the show, Caitlyn Jenner and
Shout out, girl.
She was so graceful in the face of a circle of fucking TERFs.
She's dealt with some amount of
shouting
shit
penis
in the last
year. And just trans misogyny, like really screaming abuse at her. Not to compare, you know, oppressions or whatever, but also a little bit. If that was any other group of people, if I was getting called a packy or whatever, you could conceivably ask to get. She asked on air for the people caught like yelling penis at her or like you're a man to be removed, and they just kind of got gently reprimanded by Kathy Newman. And
she was just like, that's only
gently,
eventually after
very
after,
gently
after.
She was like, can we all just can we not, that's so basically like, what she did.
It took a while for even sisters for her to even say that's disrespectful.
Yeah,
was
she
the moderator?
Yeah,
she's supposed to be her role.
I think it belies
It really belies the intention though of like essentially like a media outlet and an entertainment company. They're using a kind of current cultural conversation. Obviously, they're using it for ratings, but they clearly didn't do their research and realise how Monroe literally had to explain that after a lifetime of of gender dysmorphia, sorry, and the psychological turmoil that goes with that, to be screamed at in a supposed like safe space or on live television, like what that does, obviously, to an individual person, like the psychological violence of that, but people watching the show, and it really undermined the Channel 4 and the people insisting that it was a debate and that it was civilized. It kind of, it's just really, I really was like shocked.
Especially,
I don't like that word,
like Monroe,
but
who is like a really vocal activist and is like really intelligent and knows what she's talking about, she'll literally just have to sit there and defend herself against
literally defend her right to exist
but not actually get the time or the opportunity to actually say anything of words.
It was all like there was nothing really that they really delved into. Jermaine Greer was a very strange figure on it.
She was
a little bit smashed, but like
she was like as a tall woman I've had to suffer my own trials and tribulations.
She talked about being
she's like, I'm tall and everyone needs to call me a man.
Jermaine Jackson. I'll call you a man, Jermaine Jackson.
And as an older woman,
talking about Mrs. Brown's boys, and it's like, where have you been for the last 30 years?
And then when she was confronted, you know, she said some pretty like virulently awful things about trans people. Like, she said that if a man like just lops his dick off and puts on a dress, doesn't make him a woman.
And Kathy Newman kept repeating that kind of with a little, like, with a little hint of delicious. She kind of kept saying it.
And the Jerry Paxman thing. She was did you not say?
Say, and then saying it with a little too much relish.
Yeah,
you know,
and then
really
Gigi was just like, I don't remember saying that. Yeah, because you smashed.
And she said that on the Victoria Derbyshire show in 2015. She's like, I can remember doing the Victoria Derbyshire show.
Damn, Tori.
Yeah, she was like, I don't remember saying that. It's like, well, you did, and loads of people have mentioned it to you since then.
It's like a very well-known quote.
Yeah. And she was like so shocked when it was being read back to her, like it wasn't her. She was like, who would say, oh, me? 3 years ago.
Yeah, they also talked about, they touched on like Caster Semenya and trans athletes as well. That was another thing that was like, I guess, up for debate.
Did they touch on Mac, the American wrestler?
No.
Who would like to compete in the young men's division because they're transitioning.
Oh.
I'm not sure the right pronoun, so. Don't say they, but Texas is just like, why are you even asking?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, because it's not really fair, and I'd like to, I'm an athlete, and that's my first and foremost thing, and it's like actually keeping me quite sane and healthy, so could you please let me compete with my peers?
They touched on like the Olympic entrance, because you had Caitlyn Jenner on there.
Why the fuck
was Caitlyn's too?
She was like, why is no one talking about how she goes on, I mean, every one of her segments, she was like, well,
she got so much more time than anybody else.
She said, we're all kind of misfits in different ways. It was just weird. Weird platitudes for that. Was your flight subsidized? And then she said, at one point she gave that anecdote about when she and Donald were in, she was meeting Donald in Trump Tower because she lobbies for trans issues, purportedly. And she, this is neoliberalism in a nutshell. It's Trump Tower having gender neutral toilets. She was talking about meeting Donald Trump and using
asked Donald Trump like what toilets would she be allowed to use if she went to Trump Tower, and Donald Trump was like, Caitlyn Jenner can use whatever toilet she wants.
He's rich.
I was in New York and I needed to go to the toilet, and I was near Trump Tower, so I thought, oh, I'll just go to Trump Tower and use their toilet.
And she said to the guy, and you know, I didn't molest anyone. And everyone was like, yas, queen! We win. And why was she there?
Monroe Bergdorf is like an actual activist who like actually can speak intelligently and just was not allowed a word in because Caitlyn Jenner was just taking all this space to like tell just anecdotes about her and Donald Trump.
Like, are you
dumb?
I mean,
and also there was this journalist called Sarah Dittum, who I just thought, because her name was Dittum, and I just thought, oh, Diddums. Like, that was the only thing that I could
that
see
basically
with her
is
name. But
she was just mad as hell about nothing, and you could see her, they would like focus on someone's face, and then, so like Monroe would be saying something, and she would be kind of out of focus in the background, she'd be like,
She was saying that, like, she thinks it's a tragedy that now, because there's this huge upsurge of, like, young people and children transitioning. Mm-hmm. And she said it was so... She actually said that girls want to transition because they are treated badly as girls. So it's a result of misogyny that people want to become boys.
Seems like there are many easier ways to escape misogyny than
like, put even more pressure on yourself.
She was... I mean, she's very clearly, like, weird ways of like putting like a feminist lens on these things, but like in the same way that Jermaine Greer I imagine does as well. But like just applying that and saying that it's damaging to womanhood.
There's a sort of idea,
and she was also saying that with the Gender Recognition Act, she was saying that people would like fraudulently, men would fraudulently change their gender in I can't remember what this is. She used one example.
She used one. Like, those people are acting illegally. That's already covered under the law.
Yeah, you're already not allowed to do that.
And then she was like,
Will,
if you're going to go into a bathroom and molest someone, you're probably not going to change your gender identity.
You can do that
first.
Anyway.
Either way, it's illegal. She's like, that's... And she had one example of it, and she just kept repeating and repeating and repeating. I can't remember what it was.
I think it was something about
but Monroe was like, yeah, you've only got that one example because it's already covered under the law. Like,
yeah.
You
know, also, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And also, if there are like deviant trans people, that's not the problem. That's not a problem of the trans community. Trans people don't have to answer for everyone who's trans who commits a crime.
There's lots of like straight murderers.
Probably more.
I think the straight
community needs to come out and
Why y'all killing people?
But also, like that was it Sarah Dittum? She was also making some weird point about
what columnist name?
You can go on puberty blockers for like, and you can have like 2 years of that, and then that kind of stops puberty happening, which gives you like 2 years of time to decide if you want to transition if you're very young. And people were saying, well, that's kind of a good thing because that means that people have that time to kind of decide what they want to do and figure their shit out, because obviously if they are that young, they might not know exactly what they want to do. And she was like, well, everybody that goes on puberty blockers ends up transitioning. So actually, as soon as you're on puberty blockers, it's tantamount to transitioning. And it's like, well, maybe those people just wanted to transition.
What?
It doesn't make sense to say that puberty blockers is equal to beginning a transition at the age of 12.
Just stop fucking
just spreading
misinformation.
Just because people decide that is what they want to do, so they were right to begin with, is all that it means. People already kind of knew what they wanted to do.
Yeah, it doesn't mean like the act of taking the medication.
It's not equal.
Just as much as that guy taking antibiotics made him gay.
Oh, was that something someone in the audience perhaps
said? No, this is...
Please tell Olivia about painkillers.
So there was a case recently in which there was this man who said that he was prescribed painkillers, I think because he had a leg and some kind of physical injury, and that it made him gay. And he was on this morning.
This is on, like, a breakfast show.
Yeah,
which is how is everyone? So Holly Willoughby had to be like, at what point did you realise the painkillers were making you gay?
I'd fall into it really seriously.
And then you've got Philip Schofield, who's like, do you think that the painkillers just relaxed you enough so that, you know, you could accept the fact that you were already gay?
He was like,
nope.
But he's like,
he was like,
consider the fact that you might have been gay all along.
It's a great piece.
He was just like,
we'll send it to you.
It's really good. He's resolute. Because they're like, well, you know, some of these medications, they have a doctor on who's like, these medications, one of the side effects is relieving anxiety. So maybe some of your anxiety
very
about
gentle
homosexuality, which of course is a spectrum, and everything's
he's
fine.
Like, you know, I'm not denying your experience, but
it may be
an
a chemical
not
thing.
Thank you, Kate.
We would have, science would have found that.
Yeah, right.
That would be on the packet.
Yeah,
you might suck a dick after this.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Nausea.
Be careful.
Wait,
BJ's. Nausea, headaches, and taking it up the ass. Side effects. If you're a man.
Or if you're a woman.
Yeah. But, you know, lesbians are cute and fun and for straight people, so.
Yeah. Oh,
they're
fine.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're cool.
I've never heard of puberty blockers before. That also, this may need to be edited out, but that's also something that young, usually straight, usually white, middle class ladies do to try to slow puberty is eating disorder stuff.
Yeah.
That's like nature's puberty blocker.
Yeah. Right.
It never works, but... That's already a thing, so if anyone's protesting...
Yeah.
What is it called? Puberty blockers? Puberty. Then there's already a way to do that. Yeah, naturally.
It just stops you from self-harming. Like, it's just a way of doing it and kind of maintaining, like, your mental health.
It is literally the psychology of eating disorders is very oriented around
and
reversing
that
puberty.
As far as I'm aware, there's no, like, medical effects to having a delayed puberty.
No, I mean, some people don't hit puberty until they're older anyway, and I think...
I know people who still haven't.
Yeah.
I've dated lots of them.
It gives you that time, and also it'll help, like, the effects of, like, body dysmorphia, you know, if you are a trans man or trans woman and you're kind of stuck in this body that feels unnatural, and then all of a sudden, like, you've got tits or whatever, like, that's
having
a
periods
lot of stress.
And things, yeah.
Like, I don't even want to have tits or a period.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, a cis woman.
Yeah.
So, like, it would be very stressful if you didn't want that.
I can imagine it must be. I mean, considering that, I mean, you just have to look at the stats to know that, like, you know, how it's such a high number of kids, trans people who attempt suicide.
Is it over 50%?
Something like that. Yes, it's either staggering.
50% or
like trans people of
suicide.
Color, like, the murder rates are so high, which is why it was extra stressful to watch Monroe Bergdorf be just, like, harassed
honestly,
and, like, abused, like on television, and for there to be just no recourse to that behavior when, you know, she's having to worry for her life and then go on television and try and talk about her experience and just do her job as an activist.
She doesn't have enough exposure to be safe from
She's
not like fucking
she's
Caitlyn
just living
Jenner.
Her like regular life. Mm. Like, she's not like, yeah, she's not Caitlyn Jenner. She's just
I know
about
trans people in the media have said, you know, they won't do debates like that if the debate is centered around should I exist. Like, I won't debate my existence on television. But obviously there's a kind of burgeoning group of media people, some of whom are trans, and who don't really know how it works, and so we'll get paid a lot of money to do a media exposure thing to be on a show, and the show will be there literally debating whether or not they have a right to exist.
Yeah. And Monroe Bergdorf has just done a documentary which I think we will maybe cover on the next show, and I'd be interested to see how that works, because that covers, I think, her facial feminization surgery.
Yeah.
That happened like a few months ago. So that'll be interesting to see. Maybe she's got a bit more control, but I believe that is Channel 4 as well. But
she
I can understand the burden of, like, wanting to represent your experience and wanting to take those opportunities, but also not wanting to let yourself be kind of taken.
Yeah.
That's what Ash Sarkar and Sean Fay touched on as well when they spoke about it afterwards, this idea of being, like, representative of an entire community.
Yeah, that it's exhausting.
Yeah, that they have to kind of carry that everywhere, and also
which we do too.
Well, Ash Sarkar talked about, you know, a news story in which a perpetrator is a Muslim or South Asian, and feeling the need to take on responsibility and answer for those crimes.
Yeah,
and she described it like, you know, when you hear a news story, just like, please don't be Muslim.
This don't be one of my lot.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. And Monroe also got a lot of abuse, like, on Twitter for doing a show where the other trans person was Caitlyn Jenner. And I kind of sympathise for that as well, because if she had decided not to do the show because of Caitlyn Jenner, then Caitlyn Jenner would have been the only trans woman on that show.
Yeah, of course.
And she also said, you know, at the end of the day, me and Caitlyn Jenner were both sat in a room surrounded by people shouting penis at us. So, like, in a way, that does unite us despite our differences. And, you know, it represents two very different sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Why didn't they have Ricky Gervais on?
We really need some levity in this situation.
Ash Sarkar as well said that after the debate, because she's a cis woman, and she said that people online were, like, combing over her body, like, scrutinising her, saying that she's obviously trans.
Going through her, like, Twitter pictures, because sometimes she'll post, like, thirst traps or whatever, and, like, looking for evidence that she was, in fact, trans, because they didn't realise. Or maybe they thought she was trans, or they were like, Ash Sarkar has just outed herself as
a
trans woman, as if that's a bad thing.
She stated that she was a cis woman.
Yeah, it's,
yeah.
And I think it was like and it was, like, racialised as well. So there was definitely a racialised aspect to it.
Yeah.
And they were talking as well about the added degree for black trans women, because there's also this racialized aspect when it comes to black women who are kind of seen in a masculine way. We see it with cis women, even cis black women, like we see it with Serena Williams.
Hypersexualized as well.
Hypersexualized,
and also, like,
or desexualized. So there's that added layer within that experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, is that a good
And Kathleen Newman is a tit.
Oh, yeah, Kathleen Newman is a tit. That says in the notes.
She does not deserve the title of moderator, from what I know.
Kathleen Newman's career is a
She's always annoying, though, in every interview ever. She just strawmans the other person.
She's fully that Limmy sketch where he's like, yes or no.
Yeah.
Yes or no.
The hard-hitting questions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes or no.
She will fully, like, somebody will say something and she'll be like, so what you're saying is, and then say the complete opposite. Like,
no.
So what you're saying is the women can't, like, stop Kathy. She just really knows how to cloud a debate.
Kathy, old man. Fucking get out.
On that note, we should probably wrap up. The show is getting a bit long.
This is long.
It's housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Hiya. Anyone in? Got some fresh towels.
We're going to go back to that original joke of a racist caricature of a housekeeper. Again, our theme tune is by Sunshower. You can find him on SoundCloud. My main. Our listener of the week is Connor Milliken off of Instagram. Thank you for your kind words, sir. Aww.
Thanks, Connor.
Any lovely.
Yeah, don't forget that you can listen to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, CastBox, any place you get podcasts, whatever. And if you rate and review us on iTunes, we'll give you a shout out. If you rate us but you don't review us, we can't see your name, so please review us. We've also got an exclusive bonus show going up on Patreon. So you have to go to patreon.com/3inthepink. This week's bonus show is going to be all about Mute R. Kelly campaign. As always, we're on Twitter, 3inthepinkpod, 3 the number. To confuse things, we're on Facebook, 3inthepink, the word, SoundCloud, 3inthepink, the word, and you can also email us, 3inthepinkpodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch with any suggestions for things you think we should talk about, any bants.
And many thanks to our first lovely guest, the one in the stink.
Olivia!
Finally.
Filled my own.
Finally, I've got one in this stink. I've been playing for so long.
I'm lodged in
relief. Sweet relief.
Thank you.
At full metal affect on Instagram.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, that's
she
her.
She will also be on the extra show, so give us your money.
Please.
Bye.
Bye.